Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. James, we've got a lot of breaking, developing, and fresh news, but I think it'll work better if I sort of set the table before we get to the main meat of our first story this week on episode 239 of New World Next Week. Russia's Putin has drafted a bill to dump the dollar and the euro, and that's got a lot of people talking. Meanwhile, Russian military forces have arrived in Syria, and they're basically building up bases near Damascus. So meanwhile, Barry Satoru, a.k.a. the President of America, was on this trip to Alaska, getting protested all along, I might add, and he's traveling around remaking things in his image as he likes to do. Obama renames Mount McKinley, USA's tallest mountain, back to its original name of Denali. The mountain immediately shrinks. James, this is kind of funny from USA Today. The USGS reported that they measured it wrong originally, and Mount McKinley's actually 10 feet shorter. And I just like the analogy that everything the powers that shouldn't be touch is immediately decimated, is immediately worsened, instantly worsened. Barry's also enjoying his new Iran deal as they've gotten enough Democrat votes to make hashtag Iran deal go through. So in the middle of all this, I'll just call it geopolitical showboating, we are now just hearing in the last few hours in a dramatic escalation, China sends up 5 Navy ships off Alaskan coast for the first time ever, just as China is celebrating the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II with an extravagant parade designed to showcase the country's military prowess and project Xi Jinping's power to nervous onlookers in the West. The Pentagon has said it's spotted 5 Chinese Navy ships in the Bering Sea just off the coast of Alaska. Wall Street Journal reports, quote, 5 Chinese Navy ships are currently operating in the Bering Sea off the coast of Alaska, the first time the U.S. military has seen such activity in the area, Pentagon officials said Wednesday. That's today, September 2nd, to me in the States, as we're recording this. James, unprecedented?
Yes, but perhaps not unexpected. And I say that because it is September 3rd for me here in Japan and, of course, in China as well, which I believe is the date of their 70th anniversary parade and all of that. So I think the fact that they're doing this right now to make it into the headlines on this day is probably just that show of force that, again, they can show and project their power around the world on this very important date for the Chinese military. So perhaps it was not unexpected that they would try some sort of bold new move like that on this particular day. And perhaps it doesn't portend any sort of greater crisis that's developing or any sort of new move. It's just part of the general trend of the rise of the Chinese Navy as a force in the Asia Pacific. So I don't think we have to freak out about this at this point, but it certainly is a sign that in the 2D geopolitical chess war between the US and China over the Asia Pacific, it's certainly continuing to ratchet up and up. So I think events like this on days like this will just be part of that greater trend.
I've also got a couple of stories about, in the West at least, how we kind of lather, rinse, repeat our phony international boogeymen. And these are on, this is on my Twitter account and our man Brock West's Twitter account. 82 new U.S.-trained Syrians prepare for fighting. And file under, you can't make this up. Petraeus says, maybe we should use Al-Qaeda to beat ISIS. And we'll just leave that there, right there, James, and move to our second story this week. As I've noticed here in the States, definitely, and certainly through the summer months, as you know, I'm a media watcher and a media analyst. I wonder why certain stories rise, why certain stories fall. As we generally, the summer is a fluffier time, and I think as we've discussed here all summer on New World Next Week, it hasn't really been that way, and there have been a lot of really important things going on all around the world. I've noticed recently in the States, finally now, the European migrant crisis, much larger than that, but the migrant crisis has finally kind of hit the mainstream. And I say that because in the mainstream, and I can show you the screen grabs I took earlier, it's all emotional ploys, no context, headlines saying literally, quote, a dead baby becomes the most tragic symbol yet of the Mediterranean refugee crisis. So I was looking for a way to kind of break this down, and I think I found kind of an easy way via a kind of rough transcript of an exchange between Press TV and the Pan-African Newswire, which I believe is based actually in Detroit, in Michigan.
No matter how much the German chancellor says that this is an impending crisis for Europe, unless the root causes of these migrants leaving their countries and coming to European shores is not discussed, the situation cannot be resolved. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and they cannot discuss it because they're heavily implicated in the entire crisis. And the United Nations has said, and I've repeated this on several occasions, that this is the worst refugee and internally displaced persons crisis since the conclusion of World War II, some 70 years ago. So therefore, the root of the problem is that the United States and its allies within NATO have waged wars against people throughout the region. Now we see so many refugees coming from Syria because of the 4.5 year long war that's been waged by the United States proxies inside Syria that has literally driven out millions of people from inside the country. And this is true of Libya, it's true of Nigeria, it's true of Central Asia, Afghanistan, Pakistan. So this is a crisis that was created by Washington and Wall Street.
And James, they kind of go on, and this video is available, and we'll link to it, just like we link to everything we mention here on New World Next Week. But I find that this perhaps pithy way kind of breaks down when we look at these emotional ploys being put out to break it down of what the migrant crisis really is, James.
Well, yes. I mean, this is a good way of looking at it, because all of the white nationalists like to talk about the white genocide that's coming and things like that without looking at the actual genocidal actions that are being committed by the military at the behest of the political puppets, puppeteered by the banksters for their own purposes, destroying entire nations, bombing them to smithereens, ripping apart the fabric of their societies, like in Libya, like in Syria, like in all of these other targets. Of course there's going to be floods of people escaping these countries. Of course this is exactly what's going to happen. And of course that's going to create political turmoil in Europe. I think that's part of the plan as well. I mean, I think all of this is part of the same plan, and I think we have to understand it as such. The enemies are not these migrants. The enemies are the people who have created this situation and the people who are funding the wars that create this situation. So let's keep our eyes on the prize here. I think the real enemy continues to be the people at the very top who are pushing the strings of power to make these events possible.
I do find it interesting, James, that just over these years, as kind of the EU and other nations have kind of become nationalized, and you see kind of this racist rhetoric kind of building up, just at the very same moment that they know the powers that be, who of course fund both sides and use that strategy attention, like, man, we're going to radicalize, you know, all these nationalist people are going to get all racist, and then we're going to hit them with tons of migrants, their heads are going to, you know, it's that perfect kind of chaotic situation. James, I find one synchronistic kind of interesting note that just as the migrant crisis hits the papers here in the States is just as we're looking at the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. So I'll put those synchronicities aside, James, and we'll move to our third and final story this week. And I'll note, and I feel like it's worth noting and trumpeting, all through 2015, we've covered positive news stories, and we kind of came up with hashtag good news next week. And it's an easy way, I think, to kind of put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, and talk about solutions and talk about ways that we are winning. And a couple of weeks ago, James, we highlighted a protest song against the Unilever Corporation and their poisonous ways. So I think this week we should do it again. And unfortunately, it comes with the downside in that they are being investigated for this good news work. Canadian public servant investigated for his anti-Tory song, Harper Ban. And we can grab this from the National Post, James. An Ottawa federal scientist is being investigated for breaching the Public Services Ethics Code for writing and performing a highly political protest song to get rid of the Harper government. Tony Turner, a scientist in habitat planning at Environment Canada, was recently sent home on leave with pay while the government investigates the making of Harper Man, a music video posted on YouTube in early June that this article says had about 48,000 hits. Now, because of the attention, has about 500,000 hits.
Who controls our parliament?
Harper Man!
Who squashes all dissent?
Harper Man!
The Duffy handout incident. No respect for environment.
Harper Man, it's time for you to go.
Mark Johnson, a spokesman for Environment Canada, said the department wouldn't be commenting on the case because of privacy concerns, but he did say public servants agreed to comply with the Value and Ethics Code, which lays out expected behaviors when they join government, regardless of their level or their job. Now, James, my partner Cassie pointed out, was like, you know what the headline is? It's like, scientists are also making protest songs and being that awesome in Canada. But does the spokesman here have a point, James, of sort of like, well, you signed up to work for the government, so...
Well, I mean, of course, no speech should be censored by any government at any point, but there is a point to be made there that if you are working for the government and they're paying your paycheck, then just like any employer, they're going to be able to lay out the rules and terms of conduct for your employment. So if you sign up for government work, you're going to get what, unfortunately, whatever they want to dish out at you. It is good. I guess I'm trying to figure out why this is good news, because this is just another horrible data point on the destruction of any semblance of free speech in Canada, which is already, I mean, something of a joke. But I guess the good news here is that the fact that this has now become a viral story is now making the song much more popular than it ever could have been if they had just ignored it.
I think that's why I've moved this and refiled this as a good news next week story. Without your knowledge, I should disclose, I did move that to a good news story. And I think that, just as noted, that even when this article was written, probably not that long ago, the views have gone much, much bigger and much larger. So hopefully in this kind of situation, when people know and they know his name, oh, Tony Turner, oh, that guy from Environment, oh, he's in trouble. And I think we do see people kind of come out to help. And hopefully, I mean, the video has all kinds of other people in it. And this is the funny thing. Are all those people going to get investigated? Are all those people going to kind of get witch hunted for being involved in political things? I'm not advocating that, but that just sort of shows a lot of the ways that kind of selective enforcement happens in some ways, James. So I guess we'll have to file this another one as not unmitigated good. Is that what we call it?
I think we need to create that category. Not unmitigated good news next week.
Let's grab a couple of other perhaps not unmitigated good news next week stories, and of course people can submit those using hashtag good news next week. Whistleblowers file a $100 million lawsuit against the NSA and the FBI, and I believe, James, one of those includes Benny, who you've interviewed. Germany moves to ban GMOs. Two judges sentenced to 28 years in prison for a kids for cash prison scandal. UK Prime Minister and his wife swam in raw sewage on vacation last week, and the central banks are getting nervous as an alternative currency with David Bowie's face on it is beginning to go viral. And in some ways, James, that kind of brings it full circle, as we discussed the dollar at the top of the show. And I think in conclusion, we've discussed it only a little bit, but there's a lot of fear surrounding this now new month of September 2015. Fear financially and otherwise. So I think, of course, we have to remind everyone that this is a war on consciousness first and foremost, and it kind of always has been, and to just use hashtag New World Next Week to submit stories that we all need to know about, and then we can all follow along. I know I find out so much news just by following that hashtag, James. It's all open source like.
That's exactly right. And we can't even cover it all on this program every week. So if you are following that hashtag, it's sort of a community of people coming together to follow these different stories and follow up on some of these stories that we talk about. So please do contribute to that conversation. And before we go, I understand you finally joined the Bitcoin community.
I have finally joined the Bitcoin community, much, much too late. And I think it's a lot of the things I'm kind of working on behind the scenes here. A lot of big things coming up for Media Monarchy, and maybe I'll do some big announcement perhaps next week on Neural next week. But I have joined the Bitcoin community, and I'll put that address out there on Twitter, and hopefully, again, another open source way to kind of share resources.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Looking forward to next week. Thank you, James.
Thanks, buddy.